and welcome to a new episode of Be a Fan. We are live, well, we are recording, but we are actually on video. And tonight I have an old friend of the pod, so though this is his first time on Be a Fan, he's been a part of a guest in the Live Evil pod that I used to host, but also because you reached out to us when you tried to pit all the fan podcasts together. That's how I think that's our first encounter. David, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. You know, life's busy as always. LCS has not been for 3 weeks, but now we're back. So
ridiculous.
Thank God.
Ridiculous.
Thank God. It's no longer conversations about the industry. It's about who's inting in top lane, which I will take for a few months until I want the business stuff back.
And absolutely. And we will have LCS from now until September, right?
Yeah. There. First weekend of September. We're straight through all the way.
Mark, Commissioner Mark, we need to have a conversation. This is happening in spring. This is happening in summer. These breaks are just not fun for us. I'm glad they tried to put out a show match and tried to do something, but nothing replaces a week to week looking forward to games and talking about what just happened and how the orgs are doing, the players are doing. But before we jump any further, David, I think our people want to hear your story. You know, as this is a fan-centric podcast, especially a fan of the LCS, how did you become a fan of 100 Thieves?
Oh, great weekend to start that question, because this weekend, for those that don't know, is Call of Duty Champs. Probably a bigger event than regular season LCS, but it all started because I was a big Call of Duty fan for a long period of time. Been playing since I was little, played GBs, played tournaments, went to a Call of Duty tournament down in South Carolina, didn't play in it, but just like watched it, like was thoroughly in love with the esport until a friend told me to start getting into League, and got into League, followed Optic through it. Whenever they joined the LCS, the timing lined up perfectly as Optic was just becoming this force of nature into everything. And then they sold their LCS spot, which was
it last long and it really did last
great.
Long.
It was two. It was, hey, you know what? It was 2 years that went by like it was nothing. Them making playoffs that first split, or not first split, first time summer of 2019 was the best week of my life, of just like sitting there wondering what the matchup's going to look like against CLG, nearly crying my eyes out when we threw with two Barons and two Elder Drakes. Yes, I still remember that game and I still want to cry about it. Apparently you can't push into an Azir Sivir comp, but
who knew?
But when they left, it was like, okay, I grew up a fan of teams. I picked the Florida Gators when I was 4, stuck with it. Picked the Minnesota Vikings when I was 5, stuck with it.
So sorry.
I know. It's tragic. But hey, JJ is our savior. So,
yes.
But I don't know. I like sticking with teams and staying with them because, like, at least in traditional sports, you don't have that fear of like things going away. Mm-hmm. It's just like you can commit to the fandom and then you're there for life. And like that's your team. And you can just have blind loyalty to them forever. They can never do no wrong. No problems ever happen. It's just, you know, you ride the momentum of it. Esports has been a thoroughly different experience.
Yes.
But I still enjoy that mentality. And I think it's like the way, it's how I connect with sports and entertainment.
Mm.
So there was that split off where I didn't have a team for a bit. And I was just watching games casually saying like, okay, who am I going to become a fan of? I got to pick somebody. I don't know who, but Nadeshot was the obvious connection. Mm. I didn't want to pick the best team at the time. Like, I don't know. That kind of felt weird, but there were a lot of connections to 100 Thieves that it just felt right. So by the time summer had rolled around, it was like, okay, I think this is going to be home, stuck with it. And here we are.
Wow. Wow. And that, you know, there's a stark similarity, and I think the processes that you and I go through, again, we can chat about T-sports or traditional sports. We connect on that, probably because of the era we grew in. And we have a Gator connection. I graduated from Florida.
Oh, dude, what year?
2017 with my graduate degree. Oh.
So you had the rough years.
I had the really rough years. I gotta say, I was like looking forward to be at the swamp, to have a great Gator experience.
Were you there all 5 years then?
Yes.
Okay, so you your freshman year, though, correct me if I'm wrong, was the year that we had a chance. We just needed Notre Dame to lose in the, was it like the Christmas or like Thanksgiving game? Like we were top 10. Mm-hmm. And we just needed them to choke, and we would have been able to do it. We ended up losing the match to Florida State, I think.
In that year, at the end,
so it wouldn't have mattered anyways. But
mm-hmm. Who was the quarterback? I think I go by that.
Usually. I don't want to say Greer, but
man, you bring me back to good days. It probably was Will Greer, 2015, or no?
But it was sometime, or I just remember being on vacation with my family in Williamsburg, Virginia, talking about it and like being hyped up about
so close.
Mm-hmm. The year that could have been, and watching Notre Dame win their game, like in a cheapskate conference, but whatever.
Yeah, blush. Who cares about the game? They couldn't even pick a conference to be part of.
Yeah.
In any case, not to go off sidetrack, but that's kind of bring in some of that processes in fandom. There's loyalty there. Again, there's an understanding, too, with the Minnesota Vikings. I follow the NFL, and I know how many heartbreak moments they have.
Yep.
It's heading in a good direction. I'm excited for them, as I am every year, for my fantasy team especially. And going into this, I think when you just started to cling on to 100 Thieves, that's when they were starting to head in a good direction. They were having they didn't have the exact superstar roster, but they were getting better, because their first year franchise was already good, and then they had a slump, and then it came back.
So that was one of the hard parts about like joining the 100 Thieves fandom, was I spent all of 2019 absolutely laying crap on them, because that was the year, and I need to do, there's apparently a 100 Thieves player to, ooh, did you disappear on me? Can you hear me? I'm gonna pause.
Yes, well, my apologies. Yes.
All right, you're back.
We're good.
Nice.
We're good.
But so 2019, I spent a lot of time just like talking crap on the roster, because that was like the fake god, like they bench someday era. And I was happy. Dokla was crapping on him. It was fun. But then 2020 was, I don't remember the full roster, but it was like the stunt. Cody Sutton came back. Medios came back temporarily. Like that roster was fun, because even though we weren't good, there were enough signs to like be kind of happy about it. I think mm-hmm. Contracts was our jungler.
Contracts was jungler.
Come summer.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the year, I'm not sure if you how well you remember this, Cloud9 was unbelievable in spring.
Yes.
COVID cancels MSI.
Mm-hmm.
Cloud9 is undefeated in summer.
Yeah. Killing
until,
everyone.
Until they beat or they lost 100 Thieves.
Mm-hmm.
It was the start of the downfall. I was at Ocean City, New Jersey. I made 100 Thieves thing in the sand, because I was like, you know what? I'm feeling it today. I feel like the upset's going to happen. I'm just going to make a whole 100 Thieves sand sculpture thing. Did it. Tweeted it out. I felt like a prophet. And immediately, that moment, hooked. Forever.
Forever. It's but one of the special, magical moments. Yeah.
It was. But like, roster wasn't great, by all means. Like, it was like 6th, 5th place at best. And then they pick up the Golden Guardians roster with DeMonte.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, we're building some pieces, but like DeMonte, I love the guy. I know he follows me on Twitter and he's in my Discord. Please don't get mad at me saying this, bro. But we needed a better mid laner if we wanted to stand a chance at getting a title. They're like, everybody knew it. It was just a matter of like what would happen. And that was the year that lock-in started, 2021. And I was like, okay, we have synergy. Like we might be able to make a run if we get beat by Cloud9.
Right.
Playoffs come. By Cloud9, and it's like, dude, we cannot do this until Abadage comes in and Reaper comes in, and then it just clicks.
Just came together
right away. Clicks.
That was a fantastic year. I was already connected with the 100 Talk dads and like 100 Talk guys, and they were like looking forward to that. And the moment finally came for them. I'm so happy when they finally won.
And they got featured in the championship video too.
Yes,
the 100 Talk guys, like they deserve
mm-hmm.
like. I mean, I know they know it, and obviously the org paid them credit because they got the 5-year Letterman jackets mm-hmm. as well. But like, they are responsible for building up so much of the early 100 Thieves League fandom. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just hope that always is remembered in history, because what they did for this community is unmatched.
It's crazy. Just knowing where they started and how they took that community, they really built something. It really made me also like really love 100 Thieves, because they recognize the people that are rooting for their org, the supporting their orgs, and they give back in their way. And so that's a marker for this organization, which I think is, you're making me remember the good stuff about 100 Thieves. Now I really want them to stay.
You and me both? You and me both?
at some point, people kind of have this, you know, the reputation of hoodie org, and they don't care. But I do think they care. I do think they care. And it would be a big loss for the LCS if they were ever going. But that's in the future. We're talking about more in the present. In a similar way, I think watching an org kind of get there for the first time, it's magical. Beating the top teams, like taking down like giants, those are the moments that really bring forth that fandom. And that's how I also had that same trend or same path with EG, kind of. And, you know, EG with their whole mess behind the scenes with whatnot. I think that the players, that team could have continued. So this is a great segue because that comes into one of the topics that you brought in your last podcast and on Twitter. Does winning, is that a key ingredient for fandom? And, you know, you've spoken about it. I'd like to hear more of your thoughts to continue the process. Like, because right now, we don't know. We don't know what the state of fans, how people become fans of teams, or if they are going to be fans. And the LCS has hauled this whole mess about, are we bringing in new players? Are we bringing in more eyes? And that's always been a talk in the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's tough because, so the context for this whole conversation was Nadeshot and Boostio were having a public spat. Boostio, for those that don't know, is the Valorant player for 100 Thieves. He had to wake up early to do like a content shoot for the org, and he kind of like lashed out, and Nadeshot responded with saying, hey, like, sorry, you got to put in the work. Like, been there, done that. He was a Call of Duty player, put in the content for years. But the truth is, like, the 100 Thieves Valorant win of Split 2 and then going to Shanghai and having a top 4 placing there didn't sell us any more bundles. And the truth is, if you can't sell bundles or you can't earn money off of a winning team, then what do you really have? Nothing. I mean, it's the same thing with our Call of Duty team. When they released their podcast a year ago last Sunday, stating about like the state of 100 Thieves and how they're going to be downsizing financials to pure break-even basis, one of the main culprits of that was the Call of Duty team. They spent so much money to get titles, to do all these things that they wanted to do, but like it wasn't sustainable. They weren't able to make enough money on the team for what they were spending, and it was just unsustainable. And they weren't growing fans. They were growing fans, but not at the rate that like that others were. As much as I love the organization, Optic will always have my heart. They ain't no Optic, okay? And Call of Duty, at least, nobody's Optic. Nobody has found that formula in the same way that Optic has, which is kind of more speaking of the times.
Yes.
But like, you have to do something, because you can pay for a win if you want to. You can invest millions of dollars and probably win every LCS title for the next 4 or 5 years. But if nobody gives a crap about your org and nobody's there to celebrate with you, did it really mean anything? The reason why the Chicago Cubs winning after 100 years of not having a World Series title meant so much is because you had everybody in the city of Chicago celebrating with them. It was one of my least favorite parts about 100 Thieves winning our title when we did. Because there was a celebration online, there was a celebration on Twitter and everything else, but like, it's not the same as being able to celebrate in person and being able to have just all of the like emotion and high that rides with being around people that love the same thing as you and want the best for that situation. It's a big believer of, or it's a big reason why I'm a believer in localization and like the regional ties being the way forward, given that we've pretty much exhausted every option online. Like there's not a corner we haven't touched at this point in esports, unless I'm wrong. Like, you can correct me on that one if I am.
No, I think you're right. And so a lot of this seems to be that they've tried to do the bare minimum and hoping that that is enough by just focusing on winning or focusing on some positive sentiment that they would grow fandom, but it's not happening. And my question has always been, have people changed? Is it a different culture? Is it a different generation? But I think the key ingredient you're mentioning here is that human contact, that being able to be experience it. You cannot experience it through a screen. I can watch as many worlds. I can be as hyped as I can be, but that fades so quickly. Being celebrating with friends, even I don't even need to be there. When Peyton Manning won his Super Bowl. Finally won his Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I had people knowing how long I've waited for that to happen. And that continues to, you know, really have a key moment in my heart. T1 winning his sixth title. Faker winning his sixth. Is it his sixth title?
Yeah.
Great. I love it. Legend, whatnot. I don't have a connection with T1. I just don't.
No. I mean, that moment will always stand out for me because it was like, it was really special watching and getting to see everybody that we had in New York that was like dead tired at 4 a.m. in the morning, just like hyped as hell to see Faker win it. Mm. And just like the excitement and smile on everybody's face is like, even though most of us weren't T1 fans, obviously most of us from North America and, you know, have our biases here. Mm. Everybody was happy to see Faker win. Mm. And there's that camaraderie there that's like, cool. Like you can see it online or you can, I couldn't imagine watching that moment just at home on my couch alone. And then like, then you're spamming like Twitter and you know, TikTok and everything else to like see the celebrations and like go in the comments, but like it's not the same as being able to toast a drink with somebody over it and just like that imprints in your mind forever and doesn't go away. And it's like that, those are the moments that like everybody needs. COVID took a lot away from us in that front, and people, by all means, people definitely forgot some manners on how to act in public as well. Mm-hmm. But it felt like there was a shift back then towards like, well, we can make it all work online. Viewership's going up as, you know, everybody's forced to be inside. Yeah. But the truth was like, none of us wanted to be inside. No. Like there might be some people that joked about it. It's like, oh, I'm getting everything I ever wanted in life. I get to sit inside and play video games. Like the majority of us wanted to be outside and living our lives elsewhere. And I think once we came back from COVID, there was an even bigger push for those things. And we never met the moment of that.
Yeah.
We did a little bit in 2022. I think like finals there was like a start, especially Houston.
Houston was
amazing.
Electric.
Obviously, you're going to be biased and love it more than most.
Yes.
So the non-biased, the other side of getting, you know, 3-0 on that. It was still great because it was like, it was the first time you saw like, okay, the in-person fandom is there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you wanted to see that grow and evolve because that felt like the important part of it. And it never felt like it did.
No.
It felt like it kind of stagnated.
After that, there was a qualitative change in all what happens next. And I'm wondering, like, now that we're talking about that, was Riot or League of Esports headed in the right direction before the disruption of COVID? Was that something that they could have? It's all good. I got one. My little one too. Or was that just, did they even think to grow fandom that way? Because believe it or not, a big surge of the more recent younger fans did came during COVID when there was nothing else to watch. That was all we had. And thank the Lord League of Legends was still ongoing at the time and other esports, I think. But League was my thing. If I couldn't get out of the house, that was what I can watch. I don't know. What was your sense? Do you remember the time? Like, were the, you know, the people thinking in the right direction of growing the fandom?
I mean, pre-COVID, I want to say yes. Mm. Because, like, when you think about all the in-person events that were planned for, like, the 15-year celebration in 2020 and everything else, like, it did feel like that was there.
Mm-hmm.
It almost... I don't know if this is true or not. And I would love to know at some point, and somebody from Riot will eventually come out in like 10 years and be like, this is what happened. I would love to know if Riot panicked a little too much and was like, this is going to be the new norm forever and set like a 5-year plan based on what happened in 2020. And like, we're trying to overprotect themselves from that ever happening again and trying to like wean off of it. But the truth was that like, I'm not saying another COVID or something like that couldn't happen. It could.
Could, but...
But I think we've all understood and realized the importance of you need to minimize the amount of time that we are trapped like that again. Mm-hmm. So no, it's not going to be a, like, go to that world. It's more the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously the economy started collapsing a little bit more. Like, we're not technically in a recession. And I hate
the
terminology.
People just throw that out willy-nilly. They don't know.
Yeah, but nevertheless, budgets have been cut all around.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's like,
there's downside.
I just want to get back to 2018, 2019
mm-hmm.
period, where it felt like there was this like importance of knowing that the in-person meant everything. I mean, how they released the world's locations 3 years in advance,
mm-hmm.
because it gave time for people to build up this expectation of like, okay, Worlds is going to be here in 3 years. I can plan my entire life around making sure that I get there in 3 years whenever it's coming back. Mm-hmm. And it's like that focus is gone.
Yes.
Part of that probably because of layoffs, part of that probably because of COVID, but like they had that direction at one point. I just want to see us get back to that.
Yeah. It certainly is fair to say that our, we're in a more, I guess, pessimistic thinking based on what happened this last couple of years of what the direction that Brian went. But they have a plan. And I spoke with a fan from the Oracle Elixir pod that Riot has a plan going forward for 2025 and beyond. Maybe you know more about it, and can you?
I do not.
No? Okay.
I intentionally avoid mm-hmm. all insider information. Gotcha. That way I can like stay unbiased in reactions mm-hmm. on socials.
Some of the thoughts was they're going to put more efforts into watch parties and you know, engage, you know, local fans more across, because they are still limited in their ability to travel. As I understand it, their budget, it really doesn't allow them to do more events like they used to do, which is a shame. Now, what does it mean now that we're going to switch to Americas? That's the new format. I mean,
I don't think it has much impact.
Yeah.
I mean, I know everybody's making a big deal out of it, obviously, because we're losing two teams. You might be losing the LCS branding. But what, I don't know, if you take away the history of it, what actually changes? Not all that much. A little bit of format tinkering. But like the fan experience is still going to be, you wake up on the weekend, you watch League of Legends, hopefully with your favorite team, assumedly in a best of three, because I think the best of one era is officially over.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Oh, Lord, that was a great change.
Oh, I know. It's so nice. But like, what actually changes? Like, not all that much. And we get another international event.
Mm-hmm.
So in theory, like, it's a net positive, in my opinion, the changes that are going to be happening going forward. Assuming, like you said, and apparently this person knows better than I do, that more in-person events are going to happen. Because I can only do so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad Riot realized it this past split specifically, that all you have to do is give a little bit. One box of swag and labeling it as like a Riot official event is enough to attract people. It doesn't take much.
Mm-hmm.
It really doesn't. So it's like you do that and like it can build something. And now Valorant's getting an amazing, amazing event for their America's finals at Pier 17 here in New York City, which I'll be going for the first like 2 hours of it, and then going to our LCS watch party that we're having nearby. But like they're having Tarek there, who's from New York, so obviously that plays a big factor. But like, you're telling me you can't have like Doublelift come out to New York just for one of these events? I mean, come on.
Yeah. It doesn't take as much as they think. And perhaps that's where a lot of their hesitation and their cautiousness has worked against them in trying to build. Again, they're trying to do, maybe it's unfair for me to say, but they were trying to do the bare minimum and hoping that it will somehow grow.
I mean, I look at it this way. Mm-hmm. I try not to focus on what I can't control.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, I can't control whether Riot, what kind of effort Riot puts in or what they don't. All I know is, if I can have a say in it, I'm going to try and have a say in it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why like I've been pushing for watch parties, and not just pushing, but like actively hosting them and doing
them,
because that is within my power. I've got the connections that I've met people over the last 7 years of living in New York.
Mm-hmm.
I can just message people at these venues and be like, hey, can you guarantee that LCS is going to be on for us and reserve some space? And if so, I'll get people in there for you. I will make sure I market it. I will make sure I do everything to get them in there so that you have business and we can go from there.
Mm-hmm.
What in turn that does is it gives Riot a reason to then start caring.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it forces Riot's hand, because then it's like, okay, well, we've done the legwork.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is come in and do this little bit extra and it grows. And then if it wants to go from there, then fine. But like, we all as fans have more power than you think that we do. And like the biggest way that you're going to enact change, rather than just voicing it on Twitter or social media, is by getting people to show up to something, because ultimately that's all that companies care about.
Because
those people all, like, it's a very dark way of thinking about it, but every single person there has a dollar tag on their head. That's RP from this person, this person, this person, this person. So The more you can get people to show up, the more mm-hmm. it's in their best interest, the more they start paying attention. And then 5 years from now, say we have for LCS finals, a Pier 17 event. And it's like, okay, well, the snowball for that was 4 years prior when we were doing this. And that was started by a fan initiative that then snowballed.
It can happen. And it's show you are the example of how it can happen and doesn't take moving mountains for that. Now, say someone just come up to you, hey, David, I want to do something similar how you're doing it, getting people excited, but I don't even know where to start, where to find a venue. Like, do people even care about a League of Legends or a video game of sorts? Like, what would you kind of like give as a, you know, try this?
Biggest thing is you have to be comfortable talking to strangers. If you're not comfortable with talking to strangers, don't try it. It's going to be a lot, because what it's going to require in areas outside of like major cities, and even in major cities, you're gonna have to go up to a lot of different bar owners or PC cafe owners and like go in, ask the hostess, hey, could I speak to the owner or management, and then be able to explain to them effectively without rambling or like confusing the shit out of mm-hmm. them, hey, I can get you 15 people to show up for this gaming event. I know you're not gonna know what it is. Basically what I would say is like, imagine NFL football, but like a video game, but people want to watch. And all that matters is I can get 15 people here. I'll encourage them all to buy drinks, buy food, buy everything else. Can you reserve a space for us? And if they're going to charge you, don't do it. First mm-hmm. and foremost, don't do it, because they're too busy. Like, that location then has too much going on. Find a smaller spot with less going on the winds, a place that's not showing NFL football, mm-hmm. you know, whenever it's bigger, college right. football when it's on. Like, find the place that needs the business. Like, I did be able to look at your area and see like, okay, what places are struggling? What places could benefit from me coming in and just giving them 3 people mm-hmm. that might buy a burger and a drink? And they'll gladly have you on if they can guarantee that they can get 3 people in there. So it takes a little bit of like identifying in the market who needs the foot traffic mm-hmm. and how can you make it mutually beneficial right. of they're going to put this on for you. Mm-hmm. You are driving them business.
Yes.
Like, it has to be a mutual mm-hmm. exchange, or it's not fair. Colleges are sometimes great, but as I've had a few people ask me this question, and they've come into the same problem of, oh, well, they're not going to let non-students on campus. It's like, yeah, that's the big problem. Mm-hmm. So it is one of those that I would encourage people that are outside of college mm-hmm. to typically do this in your city. Or if you're in like a big college town, like Penn State, for example, mm-hmm. like Penn State, I'm sure there's a room somewhere where you can partner up with an RA, and mm-hmm. the RA can get you some pizzas as part of their social budget, because I was an RA for 3 years. We're all given an allocated budget for social events. Mm-hmm. Try and like make the RA's life easier, mm-hmm. because the RA has to plan a certain amount of things for all of their residents to do each and every semester. Mm-hmm. So if you can say, hey, here's a free event for you to do. I'll help you run everything. Like, all I need from you is just a little bit of budget. And obviously they're going to have to take majority control, because they're responsible right. for everybody that shows up or doesn't. Like, educate them, find mm-hmm. a resource, find a partner. Like, mm-hmm. again, a lot of talking to strangers, a lot of talking to people just to convince them. Mm-hmm. But once you get the ball rolling, then it's easy. Then it gets to the point where you just send a message and be like, hey, Saturday LCS, you free? Yes. Cool. We're good to go.
Wow. As you can tell, there's not anything that you can't do for a person. It's a matter of reaching out and finding and making it beneficial and making it work for both ways. And it's a win-win situation, especially those locations. I'm pretty sure they're very appreciative of like customers. And, you know, this thing was successful from your end, and they want to welcome you back and just keep going. And you have a place for people to go to, and you can now kind of blast it out there. Hey, if you're in the area, come by, join in. Even if you don't know the game, come by and learn. So how long did it take for you to get to where you are today?
In like the in-person front or social mm-hmm. media front?
The in-person front.
So the in-person front, I won't take full responsibility for, because when I moved to New York City, there were already events being held. Mm. It was done by a lady named Judy as part of like the League of Libations, which was like the group here in New York City that was constantly doing them. Like, events were big. CLG hosted one like to kick off 2018, and it had like 100 people show up. Like, these events were massively popular back in like the Double Lift Prime era. There's a reason why MSG was able to sell out for LCS. We have a pretty big fandom here. Once COVID hit, all of that obviously stopped. And I was talking with Judy, the lady that ran everything here, and was like, hey, you know, once 2021 hit, I'm vaccinated, I'm comfortable with going out and hosting these events. You might not be, other people might not be. I have no issue with it. I'm fine with going out. Is it okay if like I start, you know, for League of Libations and like that group, posting everything and saying, hey, we're gonna have watch parties here. If people show up, great, they do. And the first few turnouts were fine. It was like 10 to 15 people that came out. That were part of that group, but then it quickly dropped off, especially come 2022 with the weekday move.
Right.
That it
killed it
in person watch. Like there were two different times where I had one person show up, and that one person was also staff at the place that came in on their off day anyways because they just wanted to watch league. Mm-hmm. So it was like we weren't having people there, and like that group that was like the majority of people that were kind of coming out pre-COVID. Mm-hmm. Kind of stopped, which is fine because I know they're also like mostly with Judy and like she founded the program. Mm-hmm. And who am I? I'm just a guy like coming in, and yeah, I might live here, but like what am I to them whenever she ultimately like founded the program? But at the same time, I started taking off on TikTok and not YouTube yet at the time, but like my social media platform was growing. Mm-hmm. So I was able to just blast word out saying, hey, to anybody that will come, not just like this group, like anybody that will come. Please come out. Even if you're visiting the city, doesn't matter. Just come out to this thing. Like, just trust me. It's a fun time. And then it started to grow. And it started to pick up numbers again once we swapped back to the weekends. And things got a little bit better there. And then you know, at that point, like, it wasn't the old group anymore. It was just purely people coming in like, hey, saw your message on Twitter, saw it on TikTok, all this. And it's like, okay, so the marketing's working. Mm-hmm. It's starting to grow up. And then World's Finals last year was like the peak of it. We had prior to partnering with T1, which it wasn't even really partnering with T1. It was just shout out to Brian who works at OSNYC here. He had been in contact with T1 previously because like when T1 came to New York, like they would work with OS. He sent a message to Joe Marsh and CC'd me on the email. I was like, hey, just want to introduce you. This is David. He's hosting a New York City watch party. Is it okay if we just label this T1's watch party? And Joe responds and is like, I have nothing I can give you. We are we're in the middle of Worlds right now. We're entirely sold out of all of our merch. We've sold out of everything that we could possibly offer you to help. But if throwing our logo on there gives you any assistance, go right ahead, call it the T1 watch party. And then we're like, yep, that's enough. Don't need any more. It jumped from 165 people signed up prior to that point, which was already going to be a great turnout as is, to it maxing out within 12 hours of the announcement, and then people messaging like, hey, would I still be able to get in if I don't have a ticket? The tickets were free, but if you don't have a reservation, can you come? I said, yes, just come. Everybody come in. Don't worry about it. We'll figure it out. Just come in the venue. It's fine. Dude, it got busy. It got so busy. I was nervous the entire night because me and a friend we went out to a club beforehand and we're like, okay, we got to be there at 3:00. Let's go clubbing from like 12:30 until 3:00. So I don't think about it and don't worry about it. And we just show up. 3:00, we show up. There's already like 60 people there. And by the minute, people were rolling in to the point where after game one, luckily nobody else was there, but the manager came up and was like, hey, we hit capacity at the venue. Nobody else is allowed in. We can't. It's standing like I wish I could show you what the venue setup was like, but like it's a big jumbotron in the front and then like an actual like PC bang like cafe in the back. Yeah, there's like 40 PCs, like they have couches for like console games, stuff like that. All of them put with World's Finals on because it's standing room only throughout the entire venue, all the way into the back into the PC areas where people were just anywhere they could be to make sure that they had an eye for the series. And it was loud. It was so much fun. People were sitting on the floor wherever they could, just cheering on. And even though it was like a really quick series, the energy was unbelievable. It was great.
That's the electric feeling, being with people, the ability to celebrate and cheer and, you know, all mixed emotions too. If you're on the losing team, that's still a fun time to be.
Oh, we had a Weibo fan there. He had a big Weibo thing. The shy, he was the only one wearing Weibo stuff. He's like, And he asked me before, he's like, is it going to be a bad thing if I'm wearing like a Weibo shirt at the T1 party? I said, no, if anything, talk shit to everybody else here. I promise you it'll make it more fun. And he's like, okay. And he had a blast with it. It was, oh, dude, it was so good. It was cool seeing him. Mm. I mean, not seeing him sad whenever they lost, but like up to that point, like he was excited. Like you saw Kerry get these massive cheers, Baker get these cheers, and the Shy comes on. He's like, yeah, it was great.
See? That is what's missing, and I think that's what draws people in. And it doesn't even matter if you have high, you know, knowledge about the game or even if you play it or not. That kind of atmosphere really drives a connection and the fun. And we hope to grow that more and more. And so, you know, it's possible. That's the message I want to get out there. It is possible. It is doable. It only takes for you to step out and you know, believe that there are people out there. I'm sure, like, seeing that you jump from like 315 to like massive people.
It was wild. And it was one of those like come down to earth moments when we returned back for LCS watch parties this year that I was like, okay, got to remind yourself. It's not going to be 400. If we can get 10 people, that's great. And like 30 showed up. I was like, you know what? That's phenomenal. Yes. Like we're still growing. Mm-hmm. And not everything's going to be, you know, world finals with Faker and T1 and stuff. But like
LCS.
Yeah.
LCS.
LCS is pretty freaking cool. And it's growing. And people are enjoying it. Everybody that I've talked to at the watch party said, like, has been unanimously agreeing that like this is probably the most fun they've had with LCS in the last like year as things continuously get better. Mm-hmm. The swelling is starting, like the momentum is starting to build for the region. Like, ignore viewership that people want to talk about, ignore like all the online components. In person, the excitement is growing.
Mm-hmm. So that, I think that kind of brings us to that answer. You don't need to have a winning team to be a fan or grow or start getting into. There are so many variety of ways for you to get into this, and I think we need more of that, the ability to have that personal connection and really, you know, exuding your fandom and be, you know, unapologetic for how much you love our region. I don't care our results about Worlds. I care about who I'm rooting for and what they're bringing.
I'll throw him a bone. That's the main reason why I'm a fan of K-Corp right now. I love watching K-Corp because I love watching the fandom. All the good and the bad. I don't care. Give me all of it. Fans want to boycott going to the stadium and have their own events elsewhere. Go right ahead. That's cool. People were pissed off. Like, I think it was somebody from G2 came out and was like, that's not how we act in the stadium. And K-Corp fans were like, fine. We're not coming. We'll do our own thing. I was like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Now they have their own stadium. Now they're going to have their own events. It's like, they don't give a shit. They don't give a shit about your traditions. They care about growing their fandom, and they might be one of the worst teams in the LCS. They do not care.
Yeah.
They are there and they are ready, and I love it. Mm. Yeah, I absolutely love it.
Oh, man, we need a team of that here in the LCS. I think the closest
in New York, preferably.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
The closest thing we had was maybe TSM.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. TSM was like TSM was as close to a sports fandom that we will ever see in North America, probably. Nah, I just don't think not that we won't ever get close. I hope we do. But nobody so far has come close to what TSM was able to do in terms of their in-person fandom or their in-person fandom and sports ties to it. I'm all alone, so lost without you. I don't know what song or musical that's from. Hope everybody's having a great night, by the way. Be sure to follow Prime on Twitter.
I am so sorry. This camera thing is kind of shaky. But
nah, you're good.
Roll on. But the teams, the big teams in the LCS right now is C9 and Team Liquid.
Yeah.
Let's segue then into what, you know, a more recent conversation that we'll call a conversation. This is a Twitter conversation. Building fandom through content. And you just put out there in your, I think it was in, was it the pit or the crossover? One of them, you were talking about what you found as far as just YouTube and engagement and, you know, teams putting out content to try, you know, their way of building interest or more viewership, eyes, clicks. I don't know what it is. I've tried something similar. I love the content that they put out. I try to power rank them and kind of send it out so that people will find it and watch it, because I think some of them are very fun to watch, some of them are very well made, but there is just not a lot of numbers. And we're talking especially about Shopify and Immortals. They put in so much effort this year. Immortals, I will have to say, this might be some, one of those, like, you had so many years to do something like this when it was, like, very popular, or when people were actually, you know, watching or wanting the content, but you're doing it now when it feels a little late.
Yeah, they kind of burnt their bridge, or not even their bridge. It was just, they burned the leniency that they earned from, like, just coming back. And it's the same leniency that people should be giving Shopify right now, despite Shopify, you know, maybe struggling in terms of the viewership and maybe not, like, making the most of, like, the initial pop of joining the league. Like, for Immortals, you had that period of time. And it is long, long past that point, to where now it's like, people don't forget the past. It's very hard to, like, come back with a clean slate. So now it's like a, even if they were to do something, it's like, well, why didn't you do that before?
Before, yeah.
It's going to take years to overcome that. And if you're in for the long haul, then fine. By all means, you can probably overcome it. But it's going to take 20 times more effort now than it did before to build it.
Yeah. And it just bears to ask the questions, was it worth it? Because their whole idea, or part of what my understanding is, they're trying to stay afloat financially. And, you know, they were also just floating by. And that's kind of what you feel with this team, just floating by, just happy to be here. And, you know, competitiveness maybe in the future. They kept kicking that can down in the line. And now when they have a semblance of a competitive team, I'm not saying that they're, like, going to Worlds, but they have
a semblance of a competitive team.
Not at all. People aren't excited. People aren't, like, having that, like, what if they punch up? What if they upset? What happens? People are just going to be like, oh, okay, woohoo, next week you're going to lose again. That's the kind of, like, energy I'm getting from the Immortals. So is it too little too late for them?
Yeah, yeah. I put it this way. There. Do you know how many views their latest YouTube video got? It was published 6 days ago.
Under 200? Under 100?
Under 100.
Under
94. And I'm sure Cloud Sicky is going to have an entire video on this. I'll let him go that route. But, like, just looking at it at the surface, it's like the video is called Tactical's New Duo and just has a picture of him with a massive teddy bear up front, which in theory, like, not bad if people knew who Tactical was. Like, the thing you have to do with early on content, and I'm not saying I'm an expert on this by any means. I'm still trying to figure out, just like everybody else. But, like, my creator thought process is, I can't just put something out there with just my name on it because nobody knows who I am. You have to talk about more relevant things. You have to, like, tie yourself in with the big boys and understand that and find a way to relate to it. So when people click on your video, they come for whatever, like, relevant social media thing you're doing, whether, like, Team Liquid, for example, doing their cut style content, all that, like, that appeals to, like, a much wider audience. But then you stay for the personalities, like, APA and JJ, etc. But, like, they're not the selling point of why you should watch the video. They're the reason why you stay in the end. And for Immortals, it feels, and a lot of the bottom tier, not bottom tier, but, like, lower view orgs, it feels like there's this, oh, we can just put stuff out on our players and that'll be enough. It's like, no, you need to build up your players. You need to get them to the point, like, we are not at the point where you can throw Tactical on a thumbnail and that will drive viewership.
Right.
He's not Scump. You can put Scump on a thumbnail. You can put Courage on a thumbnail or Ninja on a thumbnail, and all of a sudden it clicks. Now imagine if, like, Ninja said something about Tactical and you put Ninja then with Tactical, people are going to be like, what did Ninja say about this nobody? And then it's like, oh, well, he's not a nobody anymore. Now he's Tactical. Like, you got
his affiliation. He is, like, you know, and I think that's the thing that they're missing, is the people that know Castle, Mass, or the people who are super invested in League or maybe even in Immortals, but even for general League fans, these are just names. We have no connection, and why do we care, right? And you get that sense. And unfortunately, some of these contents that are put out there is just like, we'll just throw it out there and people will find us or click or... can tell you it does not work. I like how Dignitas has Silvix. I think that helped him, but the name Dignitas does not.
Yeah, no, that yeah. that's their the. I still don't know what you do with like I. dude, that is so hard to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
And like I know like a lot of people aren't like. People ask a lot of the time, like, why do you use YouTube as the point of reference? Because personally, I believe YouTube is like the end all be all for social media.
Mm-hmm.
Like, think about it. When people got big on Vine, once you build up to a certain plat or a certain number, where did you go?
Either
TV or YouTube.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One of the two. Yeah. Same thing with TikTok. People get big on TikTok. What do you do then? You create a YouTube channel. YouTube. Why? Because monetization on YouTube is a lot better than every other social media platform. And like, you're ultimately, it all kind of like funnels towards some sort of long form content, and short form is how you get your name out there, and the long form is where you ultimately make your money. So like that's why YouTube will always be paramount for me.
Yeah, and it's my default, it's my default to go to, because as much as I like Twitch, it doesn't keep me there, and the ads are hella annoying.
Oh, the ads are terrible now. Oh my god!
One way. YouTube added ads, but it's still bearable. It's tolerable. I can have the skip button towards the end.
And YouTube Premium is one of the best deals you can probably get in all of social media right now.
Best investment of my life is to have that YouTube Premium. And so, yeah, I think they're not really seeing that or not capitalizing on that. And maybe part of it is just thinking that their audience are stream like on the Twitch or Kick or whatever. But
their streaming numbers on Twitch aren't really getting all that much either. I mean, you look at the Immortals like live view with Solo, and it's like it's not like you're doing, you know, six figure viewership. You're getting 30 people to watch, and it's like, I don't know what you do.
Accessibility, right? I don't want to go to League Esports on my phone. I want to go to YouTube and watch the games there. It's so much easier. I have less to deal with and less like bugginess.
It's tough. Like I'm curious if you were the CEO of Dignitas right now, and they told you, I mean, granted, you know, you and I aren't going to be as weighed in on the history and like it meaning all that much to us, but like, would you make the call to change names, change the branding? Would you cut off the history now and fold it into something different that isn't going to be affiliated with assisted, you know, offing yourself, but
you are never going to beat the like that brand there.
No.
Like you said, it's hard because when I talk to Dignitas fans, they have a connection with other esports affiliated with Dignitas. I'm just seeing this from the league. And if I was just paying attention to league, I was like, yeah, you got to change that. I want to be able to follow your content. I want to be able to look you up easily by just Googling or just going and typing Dignitas or just a name that leads me there directly. When I type in Dignitas, when I type in Immortals, it does not lead me to League of Legends, right?
No. Dignitas specifically, like you Google Dignitas and immediately you're put on a list. Like, are you okay? Do you need help?
Call this
home. Do you, let's talk about it. You don't have to go down this route. It's like, really? I don't have to go down the Dignitas fandom route. No. Those two separate things. Like, oh, got it.
Yeah. For the sake of the future, I would probably heavily consider it. You have to make some consideration because this is not good for branding at all.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's those kind of creative thinkers and people who are specialized in contents. Maybe orgs need to think about investing a little bit more and not just putting things out, but how to get people connected to their brand.
Probably. Mm-hmm. I just get worried, and we kind of touched on it a little bit before, of like, I don't want to be the person that just sits here and constantly criticizes about that type of stuff, because it can feed into a perpetually negative like cycle of it. Yeah. But it's one of those where I sit there and wonder, it's like, okay, for Dignitas and Immortals, if I'm not talking about this, I'm not talking about you, period. So what's the trade-off? Would you rather me not say a word or only say the bad stuff?
Mm.
And maybe it is not saying a word. And maybe that's a choice that, like, those of us in the space that are more talking heads and are more, like, people that, like, get opinions out there that do, like, sway, like, will get replies and stuff like that. Maybe that's a choice that we do need to make and just kind of let them figure their stuff out on their own and not weigh in, which is tough given, you know, we always want to be opinionated on everything. But, like, I don't know. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but like, it's been eating at me more and more.
And I get it, because we don't want to feed into criticism, like just constantly be saying the negatives or bringing out negative things, because that can lead to a very, very dark hole. And then Reddit is one of those dark holes. It's like a cesspool of criticism. But you have to understand, our criticism is coming from a place that we know you can do better. We know there's a possibility of growth. We know there's a possibility of, you know, becoming something else that can grow. And because how much we love this, we're not just trying to punch down or like kick you down because we're deriving fun out of it. No, I'd rather you succeed. I'd rather you have, you know, people talk about you, good or bad, but mostly hopefully good, and that you have people who want to be drawn to you. You're not really, you know, the efforts that are put out there. And I don't want to, again, the tough part, right? I don't want to, you know, debase anyone's like efforts, but it's not drawing people. It's not making people want to be interested or want to come to you. And
it's the not precision versus accuracy. That's not like that's not really the best comparison, but it's like people are throwing darts at the board, but nobody's getting close to bullseye.
Mm.
And like they'll say like, okay, well, I'm putting in the effort. We are doing these things. It's like, okay, but you're missing the board every time. Like you're throwing it, but you're missing the board. And like, are you like, the question becomes, are you actually doing anything then if you're missing the board every time?
Mm.
Is it like, that's not saying it's not worth throwing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's saying that you need to reel it in. You mm-hmm. need to find a way to hit the board. And if you're not, and if you don't eventually figure that out, then yeah, it is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you probably should stop throwing because you're not able to pick the right people that should be making those decisions. Mm-hmm. You're not surrounding the organization with people that can help you grow. Like at some point, you will have to cut your losses. And whether that's your choice or the investor's choice, because the investors pull out, I don't know.
Hopefully the message y'all getting is we don't want you to stop trying, but do take time to reflect, evaluate. Are we even looking at the board at this point when we're throwing? And those are some hard things, I guess, for us. We don't know like what's happening on the inside. Maybe they are having talks about this. Maybe there are, you know, again, red tapes or whatever. But we hope that essentially you will find your way closer and closer to that bullseye.
Hopefully.
So this has been a great conversation, and I really implore, you know, fans for you to put in your thoughts, put in your opinions. We want to hear from you as well. What do you think will be good for all the orgs and essentially LCS, and in the future we'll have to call ourselves the North Conference, North America.
Dude, I don't even know what the branding at this point is going to be. They need to make up their mind and say it already. But I know you already know they're waiting until like everybody's done with like LCS and CB LOL before they like change it, because they don't want to devalue the like the current splits in the case that it is renamed to Northern Conference. But like everybody should be reading within the lines of like they won't commit to the LCS and won't commit to CB LOL.
Mm-hmm.
That should raise your alarm bells. When people are intentionally vague for a reason, that should make you think. It's not a guarantee that we're moving away from it, but it is. It should show you that that's under serious consideration.
Yeah. It does make me nervous for sure. But we will see, and we'll continue to be a fan as long as we're here. We're going to continue to pump up, you know, our region, our North American fandom. And it'll be fun too. I can see the potential of having fun with us versus CB LOL or Latin or whatnot.
Question for you.
Yes.
Are you going to, you're still wearing an EG jersey. Okay. I get it. Everybody gets over breakups, you know, during different lengths of time. Are you ever going to find a new relationship, or are you going to be perpetually single?
Ooh. It's a tough question. My heart's been broken once. It takes a while to recover. I think there are certain teams that are really pulling me in, but we're not committing to not even dating. Maybe we'll go on some, you know.
Don't be a situationship person. Come on now. It's not healthy for anybody.
Well, I have an eye on something more committal, something more long-term. But right now, I just need to know where this LCS region is going first. Yeah. And then we have a bit more stability. I know the field a little bit better. I know what we can do for fun. I can know where we can do to try things out. How about for you, though? The question, if 100 Thieves
If you're asking the golden question.
If, you know, this is a big if. I don't want to see them go. I have a good, you know, history of watching them too. But if, we're playing hypotheticals, where would your process lead you to?
So I've made this clear, so I'm not contradicting my words in any way, shape, or form on this. The plan as of right now is if 100 Thieves leaves after the split, I'm taking a split off in terms of like being a specific fan of a team. So like the Rendezvous will go away. I won't necessarily like focus any efforts on one particular team, purely because I don't like, I did this whenever Optic left and I felt like it was very healthy to give myself separation. And I'm not saying that there wouldn't be such, I'm dancing around the point, but I think I should just be honest with this. Those that follow my Twitter know that an organization tweeted out about like a consultation thing with me. I don't know what that means. I just know it's coming up. So I want to be honest with myself and answer the question of like, if an org were to ask me to be a part of their organization in the future, if 100 Thieves were to go out, what would I do? First things first, I ain't saying or doing shit until like it's officially confirmed that 100 Thieves is out. But it would be a conversation that I'd have to actually like sit down and have, because I feel like ultimately I wouldn't make decisions for or against anything purely because I'm worried what other people would think. I'm not like ultimately worried, like say I did choose a particular org like right away because I'm brought in as something. I'm not worried that people were going to be like, oh, you're just flipping because they're giving you money. It's like, no, you have to trust me that A, obviously, yes, money is great and fun. But two, like I would never, ever join an organization or help grow something that I don't truly believe in and that I don't have faith in. And you would need to have faith in me. If you trust me and all that I've said and all my content that I've ever put out and like being entirely honest with my feelings and opinions, you have to trust that I've gone through I've checked every emotional box, that I've sat down, I've talked with my wife about it. Like we've planned everything out, because like this is not a light decision for me. Like if I choose a team and they exist forever, I'm with them forever. In my mind, I'm not leaving unless somebody forces me out. That's just who I am. So like, this is like I view this in the same way that I view marriage of like, this is a till death do you part type thing. I don't believe in half-assing something like that. So I would just ask, like, people have faith in me that I've gone through all the emotional checkboxes to get to that point.
Yeah.
But also that I will give myself the time needed to be able to figure it out. And also, you know, the benefit of this situation is like, I know it's likely coming. It's not a guarantee, obviously, and I'm going to be more shocked if they stay than if they leave, but I'm prepared for this, and I'm trying not to think about it, but unfortunately, the amount of times that people have been asking me have forced me to like unintentionally think about it in the back of my mind more than I would like to.
Yeah.
I hope that's clear. I'm trying not to like show all cards, but be transparent with like where I'm at right now.
And this is the same dedication you are showing to 100 Thieves right now, and it's going to be here as long as 100 Thieves is here. That's the hypothetical future team that you're going to hang on to. You've given that same effort, same commitment, and same energy. It's all of you. It's 100%. This is diehard fandom, and I cannot ask for a more, you know, more super fan than you, David. So
out here doing the things I love.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know what to say other than I love this shit. It's fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for joining me in this conversation. I think it was really great, really helpful to hear your thoughts and also how you see, you know, how we can push these orgs when they hear, if they were willing to hear our voices, if they're, we want to see the LCS be great. And we just invite you all to ride along with us. So tell our listeners, tell our viewers where they can connect with you. What do you have upcoming? I know the LCS is back this weekend. What are you doing?
Well, first things first, be sure to follow Prime on Twitter, on all of his different social handles. Thank you for having me on. Like, I really appreciate these conversations, and you deserve all the attention that you get for these. And hopefully, you know, we can drive a little bit of traffic your way. It's always a good thing.
Thank you.
In terms of my stuff, you can follow me on any social media platform. Just type in my really weird last name of Szajnuk, Szajnuk. You'll find it. It ain't hard. There's only one really tall looking white guy with a big ass nose with that name. I promise you, it ain't a common one. But upcoming, we got the Pit. We'll be here on Friday for my 100 Thieves fans. The Rendezvous is out tomorrow. I'm waiting to see when my file from my phone gets uploaded so I can start editing that. Got an interview with Meech.
Oh.
That's part of it, which will be fun. And then, as always, 2 videos a day, every single day on TikTok. That never changes.
Yeah.
So we'll always be there, chilling, memeing, enjoying music, which apparently not many other League fans are caught up on modern music. But hey, you know.
I really love the drop of Sabrina Carpenter's song. Although I'm pretty much have espresso running in my head all day long for some reason.
Please. It's been stuck in my head for like 2 weeks now. Especially because now, like, that song hits so hard for me now with 100 Thieves as well. Ah. It's like, anytime it comes on, I admit, like, all emotion just kind of like drops down a little bit. It's like, I hope they don't leave, bro.
Well, thank you so much for your time, man. And just for everyone else out there, whatever you want to be, you want to become the best in your field, you want to become the best in your career, you want to become the best in your class, but do whatever you need to do. But I implore you, be a fan.